It's a preliminary event to the official Commodity Classic activities that'll be held this year in Tampa, but it's a dandy. We're talking about the Ag Issues Forum being put on by the folks from Bayer Crop Science. One of their opening day speakers, Jason Henderson, Vice President, Branch Executive with the Federal Reserve Bank out of Kansas City, the Omaha branch for the Kansas City Fed. And Jason Henderson talked about land values and a lot more to the agricultural media gathered here at this Ag Issues Forum. We started the questioning. It was actually a gaggle of reporters. Several reporters gathered around Jason Henderson. We started the conversation by asking him about farm real estate.
Farm real estate values. Tell us a little what you're seeing right now.
We're seeing record high farmland values across much of the Corn Belt. We've seen strong gains over the last 6 months. Fourth quarter 2004, we're seeing farmland values 15 to 20% above year-ago levels. So we've seen this rapid appreciation that's outpacing the cash rents.
Why?
I think a lot of it is you have strong demand, you have tight supplies. People are eating more steaks at restaurants, less hamburger at home. That's contributing to stronger farm incomes. And they're turning that, they're putting that back into their business and buying land, trying to expand their operations when they can.
You mentioned a lot about the state of Nebraska today. Why do you see their farm values compared to other states?
In terms of Nebraska, their farmland values are one of the national leaders right now, rising at about 17.5% above year-ago levels in terms of the fourth quarter, and we're seeing strong gains out in that region. Some of that is driven, obviously, by farm incomes, but they're also the strength of the economy as well.
You talked about interest rate risk for agriculture.
Interest rate risk is, I think, is the primary risk that agriculture is going to face going forward. If you look at history, when interest rates rise, farm incomes tend to fall, and so do farmland values because of the discounting and the capitalization rate of those revenue streams. That's the primary risk going forward. It's been a trigger in the past in terms of the 1980s and then the late 1990s. It was one of the triggers of falling farm incomes, and I think that's the challenge that we have again because higher interest rates, they tend to put some upward pressure in the value of the dollar, and that makes our goods less affordable for export markets. And so when you see shrinking demand from that side, that's where the farm income declines typically come from.
As those farmers sharpen their pencils, what other things do they need to be looking at besides interest rates?
In terms of the primary thing farmers need to look at, I think, is their debt levels and their leverage. We're in a period of tremendous volatility, and the best way to manage volatility is to have cash reserves. To not pile on the debt like we did in the 1970s, but to maintain working capital standards so that we can weather any storms that could emerge in the coming years.
What do you think that means for the beginning farmer or rancher out there?
I think that's one of the challenges for the young and beginning farmers. A lot of times they don't have the equity. They don't have a lot of the cash that's coming into the market. So I think in terms of a segment of the farm sector that's going to have some of the biggest challenges in this environment, it's going to be the young and beginning farmers because they typically, when they get into business, they leverage up their business and have a lot of debt.
Can you talk about the livestock industry, especially the cattle?
Yeah, the livestock industry, they've had a couple of tough years. High feed costs are really trimming the profitability out there. First part of 2010, we started to see some profits returning to the livestock sector from the cattle side. But now we're looking at high feed costs again. The cattle industry has probably done the best out of all the livestock sectors in terms of balancing their supplies and demands. So they're able to eke out a few profits here and there, but I think it's going to be challenges going forward in terms of can they maintain some of their revenues.
What about the Western Kansas wheat farmer? We're seeing a lot of those acres go to corn and beans.
Yeah, the Western Kansas wheat farmer, I think one of the dynamics we have in terms of the spring is there's going to be, what do you plant this year? Do you go from wheat to corn to beans? Do you plant some cotton that maybe you never have before? I think there's going to be a new dynamic in terms of when the market changes and is volatile like this, farmers respond to incentives, and the biggest incentive is price and revenue expectations. So I think we could see some crop switching out there.
Have we hit the ceiling as far as farmland values are concerned?
In terms of farmland values, I don't know if we've really hit the ceiling. I think it's going to depend upon what farm income expectations do going forward. I think the wild card is going to be what's the long-term new plateau? What is that new plateau? Is it $4 corn? Is it $5 corn? We need big crops globally this year just to maintain our supply-to-use ratios. What happens if we get another drought or some weather hiccups from being either too wet or too dry. And that could have some effects on prices. So I don't say that we've hit a plateau, or I think we could probably see some increasing gains over the next couple of months.
What about the non-traditional livestock that we're starting to see a pickup in, you know, whether it's goats or sheep, because of the way the income is coming in?
Yeah, I think in terms of the non-traditional livestock operators, a lot of that, they're responding to market signals. A new different type of demographic that's moved in, a new market, where whether it's goat meat or other type of other meats, they're responding to the market and a new customer base. And I think that's one of the things about agriculture. As long as we respond to markets, effectively price that in there, and are responsive and flexible, I think that's one of the greatest assets that we have.
You mentioned the Farm Bill, that a lot of the banking groups that you speak to don't really bring it up to discuss it, but with that and some of the incentives going to renewable fuels, how does that have an impact on the bottom line on Main Street in rural America?
The Farm Bill and government policy has always had a big impact on profitability on the farm. Bankers are looking at it and monitoring it, but in terms of over the last couple of years, the biggest portion of the income has come from market-based sources. And so while they haven't taken their full, complete eye and attention off the Farm Bill, they're just not as concerned about it going forward because markets are so strong, primarily from the counter-cyclical programs. The triggers are just so low. But they're going to be watching. They're going to be monitoring the situation as it develops, from how they're using crop revenue insurance to the impact of direct payments.
Is there a wreck out there ahead of us on farm real estate?
I don't think there's a wreck out there ahead of us as long as we manage our debt levels and don't leverage up the farm. That's, I think, the biggest thing. The 1980s was so devastating because we had high debt levels, so many forced sales at that time period. If we manage our debt levels well, even if we have some income declines, we can service the loans. And as long as we can service those loans, agriculture will get through this period in fine condition. We'll have some hiccups. We'll have a little bit of bumps. But I don't think it'll be a train wreck.
Is there more discussion on whether QE2 will continue or not?
Obviously, in terms of quantitative easing, too, what I'm seeing is different Federal Reserve Bank presidents talking about that, from the St. Louis Federal Reserve Bank president talking about quantitative easing too. Do we continue as we had promised earlier? I think there's going to be some discussions on what's the appropriate level of monetary policy, and that's really going to be based upon how strong economic growth is and what inflation rates do going forward. It's really going to be path dependent upon the strength of the economy.
Jason Henderson from the Omaha branch of the Kansas City Federal Reserve Bank talking with a group of agriculture reporters here at this Ag Industry Forum being put on by Bayer Crop Science just ahead of this year's Commodity Classic. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.